Okay, it's Mark 8, 27 to 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist." And others say, "Elijah." And others, "One of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
So, good morning, everyone. It's really great to be with you. Today is a special day because normally, at this point in the service, someone does a talk for all the grown-ups, and the younger ones in the congregation go across the road and they have some activities over there. But today, all the younger ones are staying in. So my job really, the job I've been given, is to speak really to the younger ones. And the grown-ups are only allowed to listen in if they're well-behaved. Okay? So my talk today is really aimed at those of you who are younger. So the reason why what we've just done connects with what Mark read from Mark in the Bible is because I think Jesus once played a game of guess who with his disciples. There was an occasion where Jesus and his disciples went, I think, on a little holiday. They didn't have a car and they didn't have any horses as far as we know. And where they went on holiday was about 20 miles. So they walked a long way. Now, I don't know, when you go on holiday with your mum and dad, if you say, "Are we nearly there yet?" or something like that. And maybe one of your parents might say to you, "Let's play a game." And I think that's what happened. As they're walking a very long way to where they were going on holiday, they played a game. And Jesus started the game by asking his disciples a question. And it's a little bit like guess who. Here's the question. Jesus said to his friends, "Who do people say that I am?" It's a little bit like guess who. And it's a good question because up to this point, they know that lots of people have seen lots of amazing things that Jesus has done. Maybe some of the younger ones, tell me some of the things you know that Jesus did that would have made people go, "Wow." He rose a girl from her dead. That is exactly true. There was a little girl, it was about 12 years old, and she fell sick. She died, as Jesus was going to her house, and he went into her room and he took her by the hand and raised her back to life. Amazing. Who could give me another one? Go on. He did lots of miracles. That was one of them. And there's lots of others as well. Did you put your hand up as well? Go on. He healed a paralyzed man. I love that story. Once Jesus was in a house and it was so full, some friends brought their friend on his bed. They couldn't get into the house, so they climbed up onto the roof, made a hole in the roof, and lowered him through the roof in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed his legs so that he could walk again. Reuben, He healed a man with leprosy. So you've got all of these stories. Good one. All of these stories. And then Jesus says to his friends, who do people say that I am? You've got another one. He did. He made a blind man see. Just before this story as well, actually. He made a blind man see. That's amazing, isn't it? So, Jesus asked this question, who do people say that I am? And the answer that they gave, they looked at each other for a little while as they're playing this game. They're walking along the road. Are we nearly there yet? No, we're not nearly there yet. Who do people say that Jesus is? And they said to Jesus, we think that most people think that you are a great teacher. You are so wise. When you tell people things, everyone goes, wow, isn't he a brilliant teacher? And that's what most people think about you. In fact, they think you're such a great teacher that they even think that some great teachers who lived a long time ago, who've now died, have actually come back to life, and you're them come back to life because your teaching is so amazing. That's not a bad answer, is it? Jesus is a great teacher. In this game, Jesus then changes the game and he says to his friends, but what about you? Who do you think I am? Now, maybe in your class at school, you've got someone who, when the teacher asks a question, they always put their hand up. And they're like this, pick me, please pick me, I know the answer. There was one of Jesus' friends was like that. His name was Peter. And as Jesus turns to his friends and says, what about you? Who do you think I am? Peter's like, pick me, I know, I know. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, who do you think I am? And Peter says, he didn't say you're a great teacher. He said, Peter said, you are God's promised king. Wow. What an answer that is. It's almost like right there on the way, Peter kneels down in the road and like gives a massive crown to Jesus and says, you're a king. God's promised king. So the fact that people thought Jesus was a great teacher was a good answer. This is a great moment. Peter, and I think all Jesus' friends thought this, Peter was just like speaking for them as well. You are a great king. So we've got two answers now. In this game of guess who, most people think Jesus is a great teacher. Peter and Jesus' friends think that Jesus is the king. Now, as they're walking along the road on this little holiday, there's a massive shock. And I don't know if you noticed it, when Mark read to us in the Bible, as soon as Peter said this on the road to Jesus, Jesus says something really strange. And he says to them, he says to his friends on the way, I'm really pleased that you know that I'm God's promised king. But when we finish this little holiday, we're going to go to Jerusalem, which is way in the south. That's even further than 20 miles. They must have been really thrilled to be walking everywhere. We're going to go to Jerusalem. And the leaders of our country, they don't think that I'm God's promised king. And when we get there, they're going to take me. They're going to put me in prison. They're then going to take me to court. And they're going to pronounce me guilty. And then they're going to take me and they're going to kill me. Wow. So most people think Jesus is a great teacher. Jesus' friends think that he's a great king. And then Jesus says to them, we're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. Now, Peter, he's the one who's like, pick me, pick me, pick me. He takes Jesus, or he tries to to put his arm around Jesus and take him to the side of the road and say, Jesus, you must be making a mistake. You're the great king. This can't happen to you. And Jesus, in front of all the others, it's like Peter tries to tell Jesus off. And then Jesus tells Peter off and says, Peter, you don't understand. You're talking as if you don't understand the way God thinks. I have to die, and we're definitely going to do something where I'm going to die, and nothing you can say is going to stop me. Wow. He basically tells Peter to be quiet, and he's determined to go to Jerusalem with them. What on earth is going on this little holiday? Here's the thing. Now, I need an assistant. My glamorous assistant, Dave, is going to bring another prop onto the stage here. And here it is. I think I've been standing up too long. Do you know what this is? Well, yeah, it's a chair. Do you know what it's meant to be, though? A throne. You've got it. It looks really posh, doesn't it? This was the best blanket we could find to make it into a throne. Here's the thing. I'll have a little sit down, have a rest. Do you know, when we live our lives, I think one of the big things is that we live our lives as if we were the king of our own lives. What we really like is the fact that actually, when it comes down to it, I'm in charge. And we like that, don't we? The problem is that when Jesus comes along, when Jesus shows up and he says to us, who do you think I am? I'll tell you what happens. Some people go, you're a great teacher. And that's great, isn't it? We can sit here and we can say, hello, Jesus. Thanks for being a great teacher. I really love the fact that you give me great advice, but I'm still in charge. And some people say, Jesus is a great king, but actually what they mean is, and there's another little slide here, they actually don't mean that Jesus is a great king. Have you ever seen the film Aladdin? And Aladdin rubs the lamp, and the genie pops out. And the genie is a kind of king, but the genie is there to basically fulfill your every wish. I think when we think of Jesus being a great king, we're like, hello, Jesus. Thanks for being a great king. I'm so pleased that you can use all your great power to give me what I want. But I'm still in charge. I'm still sitting on the throne. So Jesus can be a teacher and even a king or a genie. But actually, we're still sitting on the throne trying to be the king of our own lives. I think it's a really... I'm going to stand up again. I'm not going to sit there the whole time. The sad thing about the way we often live our lives is that it's almost a kind of stealing, because actually, there's only one who should sit on the throne, and that's God, isn't it? And when we sit on the throne, what we're really saying is, God, I want to sit on the throne that's really yours. I want to steal your throne, and I want to sit on it instead of you. And do you know what the scary thing about that is? The scary thing about that is that God really... We could understand if God wanted to punish us for stealing the throne that is really his. Do you know what the amazing thing about Jesus is? That even though he is the great king, instead of coming into the world to punish people who have stolen his throne and tried to sit on it instead of him, he comes into the world to forgive rebels. Jesus comes into the world, and the reason he goes to the cross is because he's going there to take the punishment for all the wrong things that we do when we try to be king of our own lives instead of him. The reason Jesus goes to the cross is not that he's done wrong things, but he goes there to pay the price for the wrong things we've done. In a way, Jesus is the true king who gets off his throne, takes his crown off, and goes to die in our place because we've tried to sit on his throne instead of him. Jesus is utterly amazing, isn't he? Instead of treating us as we instead of treating us like we've treated him, he shows kindness and love and forgiveness. Now, whether you're very young or whether you're not so young, the question that we all need to answer is the same question Jesus asked. Who do you think I am? That's Jesus' question. And he is a great teacher. He is a great king. But more than that, here's another slide. Jesus is a great savior. Jesus is the king who wins by dying. What an amazing king he is. And what are we going to do with that? In this section that Mark read to us, Jesus said something very strange to his friends as they're walking along the road on this holiday. And I put it on the screen here. Jesus said this: whoever wants to be my disciple or my friend or my follower must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you know what Jesus is really saying there? Is that we need to get off the throne and let Jesus be our king. Stop trying to be the king that only Jesus can be. Get up off the it's actually his throne. And let him be the king of our lives. Jesus calls us to trust him for forgiveness and to follow him as our king. I wonder today if there's someone here, and you know all about, maybe you think he's a great teacher, maybe he's a king, but you've never really fully understood that he came to be a savior. I wonder whether even today you could trust him and ask him to be the king of your life. Thank you so much for listening. I think we're going to sing another song.